We're going to study about hypnosis and dreams in the Bible. Hypnosis and dreams in the Bible. Now, we're finishing up on systematic theology. We're in the book of Revelation. We're talking about eschatology. But in the first part of the classes that I did on systematic theology, we looked at some type of revelation that God gave to man. God gives revelation to mankind. What is the first thing, Marilyn, that God does? How does one of the first things that God reaches man's mind?
Through nature.
All right, we can look out and we can see nature and we can see how great God is because He created all of these things tremendously. Now, what else?
Intuition.
And by what we might call intuition, we know that there's a God and God speaks to our heart from our very soul. Mm-hmm. And then we have specific revelation through prophets. We have specific revelation in the Word of God. And one other thing that is so much overlooked in the Bible is that God, in times of old, spoke to man in dreams and hypnotic trances. Hypnosis. The word hypnosis is first used in the Greek Old Testament in the second chapter of the book of Genesis. I had to clean my glasses here a little bit. I could not see through them. In Genesis, the second chapter, verses 21 and 22. Now, in the Bible, dreams and hypnotic trances are very common in the Old Testament and the New Testament until the Bible was completed. In nearly every book in the Bible, there is hypnosis or dreams. Now, dreams are something that is very... horses dream. They say dolphins dream. They say whales dream. Dogs dream. Cats dream. And it is an activity of the soul that people just haven't figured out yet what makes people dream. You go off into a different dimension. And sometimes those dimensions don't mean anything at all. I mean, they're totally irrational. But in specific times in the Bible, God gives us how He hypnotized and how He brought people into dreams. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Revelation, in the second chapter, verses 21 and 22, as you see out here on the little whiteboard there, something happened here in the book of Genesis. God in Genesis 1 and 26 created man. He created in His shadow casting spiritual image, in His blood flowing likeness, and in His sovereign likeness. That was a soul. Relating to the Spirit, the Son, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Triunely God created man. And He gave him sovereignty over all of the animals of the earth that fly in the sky, that swim in the ocean, and that walk upon the earth. And then God saw that mankind was not happy just with communing with animals. So He did something else. In verse number 21 it says, "And the Jehovah Elohim caused a deep hypnotic trance to fall upon man, and he slept." And it says in the Hebrew Bible that He took of his sides bone, flesh, and blood from man, and He closed up the fleshes instead of her. Now, man is in a hypnotic trance, probably dreaming all this time. Now, I've heard we have narcotic or medications that cause you to go to sleep. Versed, sodium pentothal, many things. When they do a deep operation on you, not only do they put you to sleep, but they paralyze your body. Have you ever dreamed that you couldn't move? Have you ever dreamed that something terrible was coming at you and you couldn't move? Some people have gone under anesthesia like this and actually were awake all the time during the operation. Open heart surgeries, kidney removals, hernia operations, gallbladder surgeries. Many times people are awake, yet they're paralyzed, and their body is laying there, but they're seeing everything that's going on around them. That's got to be horrible. Now, I've had a lot of operations, and I've never been awake during the operation. And the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, calls a deep hypnotic trance to fall upon man, and he slept deep. He went into a deep sleep. We know that hypnosis actually is a fact. People can be hypnotized and puts them into a sleep like we're talking about right here. I've heard about people hypnotizing people and make them go through all kinds of funny shenanigans. And people in the audiences will laugh and go on. He says that he took up his sides and he closed it up the fleshes instead of her. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the sides which he had taken from the man and brought her unto the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, fleshes of my fleshes," or what it says in Hebrew, "and she shall be called out of man, Isha. And for this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother," he didn't have a mother and a father except God, "and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, a little further in the book of Genesis, we see this hypnotic trance here was more for what we might call an anesthesia. But how much did Adam understand? It says that she's flesh of my flesh and bloods of my bloods and bone of my bone. Did he actually know what God was doing to him when he was taking these parts out of him, these sides out of him, and putting them together into an Isha, into a woman? In Genesis, the 15th chapter, we have another dream, another hypnotic trance. Now, I'm not going to go in every dream in the Bible, but this is going to be a series of messages. We're not going to go through every dream in the Bible. There are many times that God causes people to dream in symbolic and parabolic experiences. Sometimes he causes them to time travel in the future. And let's see what happens right here. Genesis 15 chapter. Verse number 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a hypnotic trance or a vision." A hypnotic trance or a vision. A dream is a vision. It may mean nothing, but dreams usually are caused by people's unconscious minds and thinking. I know when Marilyn and I got married, she had been very mistreated in her life. And she cried. She thought she was sleeping, but she was crying and wailing and in total misery all night long, dreaming bad dreams. You still have some of those dreams, don't you, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. You still have some. I'm glad that most of it is behind you. She was very much tortured and abused all of her life. She would dream dreams. Most of it is your mother trying to torture you or something. You had a dream the other day where your mother was going to throw you out on the street. Always threats and torture and pain. dreams. Take things that have happened to you sometimes or things that you're worrying about, and we'll put you forward or backward or whatever, and you'll see things, you'll live events over and over and over again in your life. That's in natural dreams. But God, in a specific revelation, He spoke to Abraham in a hypnotic trance in a dream, a vision. Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. And Abram said, Lord, O Jehovah God, what will you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer in Damascus? Then behold, Abraham, since that you have given me no offspring, you've given me no children. And one born in my house is my heir, and that was Eliezer. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, in this dream, in this trance, in this vision, this man will not be your heir, but one shall come forth from your own loins, your own body, your own reproductive organs, is literally what it says. And he shall be your heir. Now let's go on a little bit further in this chapter. In verse number 12. Now here is a real deep hypnotic trance. Hypnose is the word in Greek. Hypnose. That's where we get a word hypnosis. Right? Straight out of the Greek. Now, salvation is by grace and grace and God alone. I want to repeat that because this is extremely important. And this is the story that tells that. This is one of the stories that tells. Salvation is of God. It is of God's calling, of God's doing, and God's doing alone. God elected Abraham to do something. And when it come time for Abraham to sign a covenant with God, God put him in a deep hypnotic trance. He couldn't do it. Because our contract of salvation and election does not depend upon us. It depends upon God and God alone. Now this is a real important type, symbol, metaphor. Now when the sun was going down, a deep hypnotic trance fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell around him. Now what would happen here in these times of old is that people, when they made a contract, they'd take birds and animals and they would take and split them and they'd put them on pallets on the ground. And they'd walk between these two pallets. They would give each other their shoe and kiss each other and swear by this covenant. Both men would. And they'd give each other their sandal or shoe. And then they would sit down and proceed to eat all of the sacrifices of the sign of the covenant. In verse number 9, he said, bring me a three-year-old heifer and a three-year-old male goat, female goat that is, and a three-year-old ram, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these things to him and cut them in two and laid each opposite one another, and he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcass, and Abraham drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep hypnotic trance fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Because now we have the presence of God, Jehovah Himself, walking. Jehovah is going to walk between those sacrifices alone and seal the covenant by Himself. For in grace ye are having been saved. I'm giving you a Greek translation, Ephesians 2 and 8. For in grace, submersed in grace, baptized in grace, you're having been saved through faith, and that didn't come out of you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And here it is emphasized in the Old Testament. And God said to Abraham, in this hypnotic trance, know for certain that your descendants and will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge that nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many riches and possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. Then in the fourth generation they shall return from here, and the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. They're going to come back into the land of Canaan and possess it. And it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven, a fire, like the Shekinah glory of God, and a flaming torch, the Shekinah glory of God, which passed between the pieces. God signed the covenant, and God alone signed this covenant. Abraham didn't sign it. He didn't give his shoe to God. God went through there alone. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, for your descendants I have given this land, and from the river of Egypt, as far as the great river, River Euphrates, and the Canaanite, and the Kerizzite, and the Kadmonite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Rephaim, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Girgashite, and the Jebusite. All of their lands are going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you. And Abraham, it's not because of what you do. It's because of what I have done. Now let's go to one other place in the Bible in Genesis 20. Now Abraham was an ungodly buzzard at times. He went down into Egypt, and God castigated him for going down there. He went down there and he lied his way through Egypt. He told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister, which she was his half-sister, but he sold her. He was a used wife salesman. And God revealed to Pharaoh that Abraham had cheated and lied to him. So he went there. Now Pharaoh had been on the up and up, right straight arrow all the time. He gave Abraham many great possessions. He gave him a place in the land. And he gave him his daughter, Hagar, to be his wife, a political marriage. And Abraham, the kind of used wife salesman, or used car salesman that he was, took his future wife, his political marriage, and gave her to his wife as a slave. This is the princess of Egypt, Pharaoh's daughter, by one of his concubines. And he turns her from a princess into a slave. Now, God saved him out of that situation. This was the woman that was going to bring forth the heir, the son of Abraham, and he's going to give her womb to somebody else. And now this isn't the last time Abraham does this dastardly deed. We're in the 20th chapter of Genesis. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev. The land of the Negev, the south country. And he settled between Kadesh and Shur, and then he pilgrimed in Gerar. These are these Philistine people. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, again, it worked before, now let's do it again. He said to his wife, Sarah, she is my sister. She is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abimelech means son of the father, or king of the father, son of the king, Sons of the King. And by the way, that term went on from one other. It's like the word king. But God came to Abimelech in a hypnotic trance of the night. And he said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man." Abraham just carries his reputation with him, doesn't he? Now, God promised Abraham. He signed a contract. Abraham didn't sign that contract. He signed that contract. God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night, and he said to him, "Behold, you're a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is married." The used wife salesman got you too. Another time. Now Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation even though that we are blameless? We are not guilty of this situation. I haven't done anything wrong here." Did he not himself say to me, "She is my sister"? And she herself said, "He is my brother." And in the integrity and the righteousness of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this thing. Then God said to him in this hypnotic trance, "Yes, I know of the uprightness and the integrity of your heart. You have done this. And I also kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her." This is Abraham's. This is the vessel that will bring forth Messiah in the end. "Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." An ungodly, cracked vessel, Abraham, like you and me. Just like you and me. He is a man of carnal desires and thoughts and life. A man that lived in fear and not in the trust of God in so many ways. He said, "The man is a prophet and he will pray for you." Boy, what a deal. How God uses the ungodly to bring about his purposes. He's a prophet. This guy that cheated you and lied to you and took your money and took your cattle and took your land. He's a prophet of God and I will have him pray for you. Now Abimelech was really afraid. Abimelech could have said, Hold on, Lord. Why don't you let me go out there and find a good prophet? Why don't you let me find an honest man to do this? He's a prophet and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know this, that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose up early in the morning and called all of his servants and said, "I've been cheated." And he told all these things in their hearing, and the men were greatly frightened. Then Abimelech called Abraham, the ungodly prophet, the ungodly priest. We've only had one godly priest and one godly prophet and one godly Savior, and that's Jesus Christ. Then Abimelech called Abraham and he said to him, "What have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought upon me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done this to me, things that ought not to be done." And Abimelech said to Abraham, now Abraham's just standing there just looking, you know, with his face hanging out. How did you find this out? Who told you? Abimelech said to Abraham, "What have you encountered that you have done this thing?" What
Are you a bank robber? Are you a highwayman? What are you? What are you doing? What is your occupation besides being a prophet? Robbing banks? Robbing princes and pharaohs and kings?
And Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is actually my sister. I only told you half a lie. I'm lying, but I only told you half a lie. She's actually my sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house, and that I said to her, this is the kindness of your mercy and grace which you will show to me everywhere we go. Say of me that he is my brother. That way we can make a lot of money. Kind of like a traveling carnival show, isn't it? And Abimelech then took sheep and oxen and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham. And restored his wife Sarah to him. Now he already had given him a bunch of stuff. But now he gets more rich. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Settle wherever you please. And to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, it is your vindication before all who are with you and before all men who are cleared and cleansed. Veil yourself. Put some good clothes on, Sarah. You got plenty of money to buy them now. Cover yourself up like a wife. And be discreet. And be a chaste woman. And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. verse 1, and then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and her old age, at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Sarah is not the oldest woman and the oldest man in the Bible to have children. We have Noah. We have Adam and Eva. And we have Jethro and Jochebed. Jochebed was Moses' father's aunt. She was 128 years old, according to the book of Jasher, when she married her nephew. And she had at least 3 children that we know of. Moses' sister, Moses' brother Aaron, and finally, Moses. But this is the miraculous birth here. There are many miraculous births. We could talk about all the miraculous births in the Bible. We're talking about all the dreams and all the hypnotic trances in the Bible right now. And the Lord did for Sarah as he promised, and Sarah conceived. She caught seed, is what it says in Hebrew, and kept it, and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, and at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of the son which was born to him, whom Sarah had bore to him, laughter, pleasure, union. That word yitzik means to kiss, to make love, to laugh. All of those things. It means pleasure. It means a spontaneous pleasure. Laugh, you laugh. Marilyn, I've seen you laugh before. When you and Sharon talk, you just laugh, both of them, you laugh your heads off. That's spontaneous. You don't have to try to do that. It just happens. When you kiss and touch one another, there is a feeling there. There's a mutual passion.
Yitzchak.
And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, and God commanded him. Now God was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
Just like the God of heaven had swore to him in a dream. God stopped, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, God stopped the Apostle Paul, which the name was Saul at that time, on the way to Damascus killing Christians. And he stopped him, and in a hypnotic trance and in a dream, in broad day, he spoke to Paul. Why persecute thou me, Saul? Why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?
Well, when God appeared to Abraham, Abraham knew who was going there.
Abraham knew who walked through in that pillar of fire and smoke that walked through those covenant sacrifices.
A type of God's grace. For in grace you have been saved. You are having been saved through faith. And the faith does not come from you either.
The unction to come to God by the wooing of the Holy Spirit is by the operation of God's Spirit upon your soul. The gift of repentance is by the operation of the Holy Spirit and a gift of God. The mercy that God shares upon you is a gift of God. The grace by which we are saved is a gift of God. And God deals you with us in many ways. Galatians says, for when the fullness of time had gone, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem, buy back, be our kinsman redeemer for that which we could not attain on our own self. We could not keep the law. Jesus Christ kept the law for us. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world's already condemned. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, God will send his Son back again to be the great judge of all the nations gathered around Israel in that period of time right here, in the tribulation period. Right now, we are living in the church age, an age of grace, and all the ages were actually an age of grace, because God saved all men by grace from Adam to us. And all of us have Adam's blood flowing in our veins, which is Adamic, or that is where we get our original sin, our sin nature, is through the blood of our fathers that came down from Adam. But through the blood of God in the body of Mary, God brought forth his Son. God followed all the rules. Jesus Christ followed all the rules that we might have eternal life. Our Father, we send this message out. I hope that it educates, feeds your people. I pray, Father, that they understand you better and how you have dealt with man, and how that the progressive revelation that you've given to mankind will save their souls and show them how much you love them. We just taught the book of Ruth, Father, and shown how your great love and mercy was shown in that book as a type of your love to us and your Son. And your Son was a union of Boaz and Ruth. He was the issue of that. Father, use your Spirit and your Word to touch people's lives all over the world. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.